And I speak about America, the world, and why that America was so great, why God chose America, why God separated America from the rest of the world, how that she growed into such great power. Righteousness exalteth the nation, sin is a reproach to any people. How that through the great men we came up by the hand of God, and how that through men who do not know God, how that they are fallen. And you know, when Jimmy Carter went to office, he said that he had prayed and God had helped him. And he wanted to quote a scripture from the book of Micah, I believe it is. But anyway, he wanted to quote a scripture. And he wanted to quote a number of scriptures. But one outstanding scripture was, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I'll hear from heaven and heal their lands. And the great men that was with Carter, the cabinet and the different ones that worked with him, you know, the socialist group that are right there with him, you know, when they are running for president and whatever, they talked him out of it. And they told him, said, if you do that, said, the people will look on you like Solomon and take the idea or the feeling that you think you're righteous and everybody else is wicked. And so they talked him out of it. But he still says until today that he was right and they were wrong, that he should have went ahead and said what he felt like saying. But in the light of his denial and of his recanting or submitting to the mind of evildoers, in regards to that and in contrast to that, I'd like for you to hear the prayer of somebody that I would think has more than our preachers of today, more concerned than our preachers of today, and was more devout than our preachers of today.
Almighty God and most merciful Father, who didst command the children of Israel to offer a daily sacrifice to Thee, that thereby they might glorify and praise Thee for Thy protection both night and day, receive, O Lord, my morning sacrifice, which I now offer up to Thee. I yield Thee humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast preserved me from the dangers of the night past and brought me to the light of this day and the comforts thereof, a day which is consecrated to Thine own service and for Thine own honor. Let my heart, therefore, gracious God, be so affected with the glory and majesty of it that I may not do mine own works, but wait on Thee and discharge those weighty duties Thou requirest of me. And since Thou art a God of pure eyes and wilt be sanctified in all who draw near unto Thee, who doest not regard the sacrifice of fools nor hear sinners who tread in Thy courts, pardon, I beseech Thee, my sins. Remove them from Thy presence as far as the east is from the west, and accept of me for the merits of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that when I come into Thy temple and compass Thine altar, my prayers may come before Thee as incense. And as Thou wouldest hear me calling upon Thee in my prayers, so give me grace to hear Thee calling on me in Thy word, that it may be wisdom, righteousness, reconciliation, and peace to the saving of my soul in the day of the Lord Jesus. Grant that I may hear it with reverence, receive it with meekness, mingle it with faith, and that it may accomplish in me, gracious God, the good work for which Thou hast sent it. Bless my family, kindred, friends, and country. Be our God and guide this day and forever for His sake, who lay down in the grave and rose again for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I have done Thy work, yet it hath been so negligently that I may rather expect a curse than a blessing from Thee. But, O God, who art rich in mercy and plenteous in redemption, mark not, I beseech Thee, what I have done amiss. Remember that I am but dust, and remit my transgressions, negligences, and ignorances, and cover them all with the absolute obedience of thy dear Son, that those sacrifices which I have offered may be accepted by thee in and for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ offered upon the cross for me. For his sake, ease me of the burden of my sins and give me grace that by the call of the gospel I may rise from the slumber of sin into the newness of life. Let me live according to those holy rules which thou hast this day prescribed in thy holy word. Make me to know what is acceptable in thy sight, and therein to delight. Open the eyes of my understanding, and help me thoroughly to examine myself concerning my knowledge, faith, and repentance. Increase my faith and direct me to the true object, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Bless, O Lord, all the people of this land, from the highest to the lowest, particularly those whom thou hast appointed to rule over us in church and state. Continue thy goodness to me this night. These weak petitions I humbly implore thee to hear, accept, and answer for the sake of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Great Spirit protects him. This is the testimony of the Indian chief. 15 years after this battle, Washington and Dr. Craik, his intimate friend from his boyhood to his death, were traveling on an expedition to the western country for the purpose of exploring wild lands. While near the junction of the Great Kanawha and Ohio Rivers, a company of Indians came to them with an interpreter, at the head of whom was an aged and venerable chief. The council fire was kindled when the chief addressed Washington through an interpreter to the following effect. I am chief and ruler over my tribes. My influence extends to the waters of the Great Lakes and to the far blue mountains. I have traveled a long and weary path that I might see the young warrior of the great battle. It was on the day when the white man's blood mixed with the streams of our forest that I first beheld this chief. I called to my young men and said, mark you, tall and daring warrior, he is not of the Red Crow tribe. He hath an Indian's wisdom, and his warriors fight as we do. Himself is alone exposed. Quick, let your aim be certain, and he dies. Our rifles were leveled, rifles which, but for him, knew not how to miss. 'Twas all in vain. A power mightier, far than we, shielded him from harm. He cannot die in battle. I am old, and soon shall be gathered to the great council fire of my fathers in the land of shades. But ere I go, there is something bids me speak in the voice of prophecy. Listen. The Great Spirit protects that man and guides his destinies. He will become the chief of nations, and a people yet unborn will hail him as the founder of a mighty empire.
This is really something, Betty bringing it to me tonight, just before we come to church. It's really something to think that God has lifted up such great leaders as Washington, Lincoln, and others. Great, mighty men of God, and yet great statesmen. You know, it's easy to understand, Brother Parnell, why that America has been such a great and mighty people. And seeing as how that God has allowed us to be separated from such great devout leaders, we can also see why the problems and the troubles and why that America is on the verge of crumbling under the impacts of the enemy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yea, who is this that cometh forth into the battle? Who is this whose eyes are red as the wine? Who is he that is set astride the great white horse? Who is he? He whose vesture is dipped in blood, is it not he that cometh from heaven? Is it not he that said he would come and not tarry? Is it not he that promised in his word, yea, and he keepeth his word, for his word is settled in heaven? Yea, is it not he that is said in his word, I shall come unto thee, yea, I shall return, yea, I shall come to thee again. If thou shalt hold fast and not doubt, but shall believe, yea, I shall come unto thee again, and I shall bless thee, and I shall lift thee up. Yea, the Lord shall lead thee. Yea, the Lord shall guide thee. Yea, the Lord shall help thee. Yea, the Lord shall lead thee through the deep waters of despair, and the Lord shall take thee over the raging waters of the sea. God shall help thee. Yea, he shall lift thee up, for he shall carry thee as those upon the wings of an eagle. Yea, and he shall rise high into the heavens with thee. Yea, and nothing shall light upon thee to harm thee, for there is a land of paradise, yea, a place of rest. There is a place that God hath provided for them that love him. Yea, though I hath not seen and ear hath not heard, never before have they seen that which God shall reveal to them that love him. Yea, God shall show them the green pastures. Yea, God shall show them the fountain of living waters. Yea, the Lord shall take them into the great paradise of God, where there is no tears, yea, where there is no sun that shall light upon them. For the day shall be bright as the morning. Yea, the light of God shall ever light the city. The fairest of the fair shall be in the midst of them, and the light of God shall always be before them. For yea, I say unto thee, it shall be a great moment and a great day, for the earth shall break forth in singing. There shall be a great time of rejoicing, and kindred shall fellowship with kindred. And oh, the day of the Lord shall be upon them, and the light of the Lord shall break forth from the mountain of Zion. And oh, what a day it shall be when reunion shall come and loved ones shall embrace loved ones. Oh, what a time it shall be when the Lord himself shall walk in their midst, yea, and the Lord shall lead them to the fountain of living waters and wipe the tears from their eyes. First verse, the 9th chapter, St. Luke. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elijah had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear these such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12, and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and countries round about, and lodge and get victuals. But we are here in a desert place. For we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. There was taken up all fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about an eighth day after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him, and behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, and he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither, and as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of their heart, took a child and set him before him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answering and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's reading the entire chapter. I didn't intend to read it, but I felt to go ahead and read it. Here, we find that there is a dispute among the disciples as to who Jesus is. And I guess it has always been that way when a minister comes into the midst. Some dispute. Some say he's of God, some say he's of the devil. But a lot of times they have a problem getting together as to whether they should follow him or whether they should kill him or reject him. But here, Jesus tells them of a great outstanding thing, and that is, here he told them that he would have to die, but he would be resurrected on the third day. And, you know, a lot of times in talking about this, I try to point out what is meant by life and what is meant by the resurrection. So many people misunderstand the resurrection, and when you talk to them about the glory of God or the resurrection, they don't understand what you're saying. Being traditional and being brought up in tradition by the elders and different doctrines and whatever, they don't understand. They really don't understand. But it is so wonderful if a man can come to the place to where he can do as these disciples did. The Bible tells us that when they awoke, they saw his glory. You know, people in the world today are hard and fast asleep. They don't realize it. For as I've said so many times, you don't know that you are asleep until you wake up. Then you know that you've been asleep. Nobody understands as a rule that they are asleep. But when they awake from the sleep, then they know that they have been asleep. And the people of the world today are hard and fast asleep. And they have the spirit of slumber. God has given them a spirit of slumber. And they have the spirit of slumber, but yet they do not know that they are asleep. But the Bible said here that when they awoke, that they saw the glory of God. And you know, it wasn't until I really got my eyes open and awoke from the slumber that I really saw the glory of God. I have really seen the glory of God. Now you say, Brother Pike, don't get beside yourself. You've never really seen the glory of God. Oh, yes, I have. I have seen the glory of God. And it has changed me until I could never again be the same. When I first started in the ministry years ago, I did not know what the glory of God was. I had had an experience with God, but I did not know what the glory of God was. But I've learned what the glory of God is. You know, I say again, the Bible teaches that every star differeth in glory. And then when it speaks of us, it says that we are changed from faith to faith, from glory to glory, into the marvelous image of the Son of God. Everything has its own glory. A woman hath her glory, which is her hair. A man hath his glory, which is his strength. And everything hath its glory, and the stars differ in glory. Now, a lot of people question, how does the stars differ in glory? What does he mean that the stars differ in glory? Well, we've said it before. There is Jupiter. There is Mars. Each one of them hath a name. Since scientists have been able to bring these planets and stars into view or into sight, they have learned that each one of them is so characteristically different that every one of them has their own personal glory, and they're all together different. Every one of them is in their own originality. Every person has their glory. Now, but when we think about the glory of God, that is the point of interest. The glory of God. What is the glory of God? How do we come to know the glory of God? How can we see the glory of God? The first thing we must do is be born again. For the Bible said, lest a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, or lest he be born into the kingdom of God, or lest he be born of the Spirit, he shall not see the kingdom of God. His eyes cannot come open. Therefore, when they awoke, if I am but a man, if I live in this world, if I've been born into this world from a natural birth, I am asleep. I am in the first birth. I'm still being carried in the womb, as we would say, to the extent that I've never come forth into that great world of God, or that great understanding of God. I'm still, though I live, I still am in a condition of sleep, and I cannot see His glory. For with my natural eyes, I could never see the glory of God. With my natural understanding or my natural eyes, I could never see God's glory. They say there's about 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. How could I ever hope to see the great light of God? How could I ever hope to see the glory of God? I could never see the glory of God with these natural eyes unless I come into the spiritual realms. I must enter into the spiritual realms, and then the Bible says that the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened. Then I can comprehend the heights of His glory. I can comprehend by the mind of Christ the depths of His glory. And I can comprehend by the spiritual understanding of God the length of His glory. I can understand the breadth of His glory. If I have my eyes of understanding enlightened. But I cannot see through these natural eyes the glory of God. I must be born again. I must enter into the Spirit. I must get into another dimension. I must rise up to another level. And then my eyes of understanding come open, and I can see the wonderful glory of God. And I tell you, I do see the glory of God. And what a wonderful time I have. Because when you see these things, it is so wonderful. You know, a person gets on dope, and they take a little shot in the arm, or they take a little snipping, you know, of something in there, or they swallow down some kind of pill, and they get beside themselves, and they begin to see things. And in that world, they're so carried away. They're just as happy as they can be because they are seeing something different from the usual routine of life. And hundreds of thousands of youth get carried away in this as well as older people. But you know, you don't have to do that. All you're seeing is a bunch of wild hallucinations. All you've done is got your brain out of focus. You've got your understanding all messed up. You've got your blood count all messed up. Got your nerves all out of shape. And all you're having is wild hallucinations. But brother and sister, when you come into the understanding of God, that is not wild hallucinations. That is the glory of God. That is something that really exists beyond the dimension that you live in. You haven't just got all messed up and all mixed up and maybe will wind up, as they call it, a vegetable. But you have crossed a boundary of worlds, and by transformation of mind and by the translation of the Spirit, you've done what Jesus done when He walked up on this mountain and transcended the gravitational barriers of time. You have moved into the next world. You say, how do you know that Jesus did that? How did Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus if he did not do that? Everybody knew that Moses had passed on. Everybody knew that Elijah was gone. How then did Jesus appear with Moses and Elijah if he didn't do that? See, that proves there's another world somewhere. Nobody had seen Moses and Elijah around. Now, nobody had seen them. Now, here the dispute was about them, and somebody says, Jesus working a few miracles. Somebody said, now, here's this great Elijah. He's come back. Why? We don't know Elijah. You know, we've never seen Elijah, but we know that this is Elijah. We know this is Elijah. Somebody would say, well, how would they then know that that was Elijah? Because the prophecy of the Old Testament said that God would send Elijah before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Isn't that right? He would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. So they just said, this is Elijah. This is Elijah. But see, the prophecy that said Elijah would come, that prophecy, speaking of John the Baptist, that prophecy also went on a little farther to state that he would send the Lord Jesus Christ. It also says, in saying, I will send my servant before his face, He also said, I will send him who shall purify the sons of Levi as silver. I will send that one that will purge you as if by fire, and who shall be able to abide in the day of his coming. So then, there was the prophecy of the coming of Jesus. There was the prophecy of the coming of John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah. But see, they said this must be Elijah, because the Bible says that God will send him. And so then they had a great dispute about it. But it wasn't but a few days here that Jesus proved that he was neither Moses nor Elijah, but that he was superior to all of them. And there he went up on the mountain and stood there in the midst of Moses and Elijah and said, in so many words, see here, see the difference. And then Peter, still carried away with Moses and Elijah, still believing as when Paul had the dispute with him, he said, let us just build three tabernacles. And the voice said, we won't have any of that. Just one, Jesus, Jesus. Get your mind off of Elijah. Get your mind off of Moses. Just Jesus, that's all. Just Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no power in the name of Elijah. There is no power in the name of Moses. There is no remission of sin in those names. Just Jesus, that's all. Just Jesus. So then Peter went back with all boldness, and when the Lord was taken away, he stood on the day of Pentecost. You don't hear him preaching Moses. You don't hear him preaching Elijah. But he said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, what if the Lord had not said something to Peter? There's a good possibility that on the day of Pentecost, that Peter would have said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Now you say, nobody would be so foolish to do that, Brother Pike. Then why does people say, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Somebody say, I love Jesus. If they won't call three names in the water, why do they do that? Why do they do that? See, God straightened Peter out, and God told Peter what to do. Isn't that right? And so then on the day of Pentecost, he knew what to do. That's why he stood so boldly, even after Matthew 28, when the Lord, he said, go preach in my name. Preach in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He knew there was no Moses and Elijah, so he just preached in one name. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to wake up and to see the glory of God. To wake up as they did and see the glory of God. Hallelujah. You know, in this body we have a continual warfare. There is in the inner man the Christ of glory. There is in the outer man no good thing, Paul said, which must be the devil. You know, if it's no good thing, I don't know of anything that's a no good thing but the devil. He said, in my flesh there is a no good thing. Isn't that right? All right, so then if it's a no good thing, it must be the devil. And there is a continual warfare between my body and between my spirit. I wonder, a lot of times, you know, I've been prone to wonder. And I'd say, Lord, why is it that there is a continual warfare between my inner man and my outer man? I don't want a warfare. I'm not interested in the world. I've given my outer man to you. I've tried to surrender to you as much as I know how to do. Lord, I just don't understand. Why am I in this kind of condition? You know, like the woman when she went to the Lord and the two children wrestling in the womb, she said, oh God, why is this like this? Why am I in this misery? What is this conflict on the inside? See, what is this that keeps wrestling, tussling, and going on? What causes my conflict? What causes me to feel like this? What causes me to be tore up like this? What causes the oppression? What causes the alluring and the drawing to the things of the world that harasses the mind, that fights continually against that on the inside that wants to be sacred, that wants to be divine, that wants to be holy? What causes that? There is another power, Paul said. There is another power. If it was not for the death of Jesus, if it was not for the blood of Jesus, if it was not for being baptized in the name of the Lord and filled with His Spirit, brother and sister, that power would overpower you. That power, those conflicts, those evils, that thing that harasses you, all of that would be charged against you in the day of judgment, and you'd have to pay the penalty in the lake of fire. But thanks be unto God, Paul said, Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. And though sin hath the strength, and that strength is through the law that brings us under condemnation, though it hath the strength, yet I have a greater strength on the inside. For the Bible said, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. And today I have a greater power. I have a greater strength on the inside of me. What causes that outer conflict? Have you ever thought of it like this? I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, what's causing that outer conflict? Of course, the Lord spoke back and said, son, the continual warfare between the inner and the outer man is Christ and Satan. He said, it's that inner conflict. And God broke it down in detail and went into great things at great length to tell me precisely what was taking place. But one of the things that God expounded to me was this. He said to me, he said, Satan is the prince of the powers that are in the air. I said, well, God, I know that Satan is the ruler over evil spirits that are up in the air. I know that Satan is everywhere, filling all the earth. And I know that demon powers is everywhere. And the children of disobedience are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. I know that, God. But the Lord said there's something you don't know. And when I say that Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, it also means that he is the ruler over atomic matter. That he is the one that is in control of all of the nuclear power. And that it is he that will destroy the world by working through the carnal mind, trying to get control of all mankind to set up his kingdom in the earth. I said, well, Lord, what does that mean to me? If Satan is the ruler of the prince of the power, or he is the prince of the powers of the air. If Satan is the ruler, if Satan is the one that can cause the lightning and the thundering, that is the conflict of the elements, and shake the earth up and cause all this problem. What does that mean to me concerning the conflict of the inner and the outer man? Well, the Bible said when they awoke, they saw his glory. And I said, Lord, what is this? And God said to me, he said, son, this is what it is. He said, your body is made out of atomic particles. He said, your body is made out of the matter of this world, or it's made out of the dust. And Satan, being the prince of the powers of the air, he can get a hold of your body through the atomic particles. He can work through matter. That form of matter that is an image in this world, being subject to this world, being subject to the gravitational powers, being subject to Mother Earth, said he can electrify. He can stir up the passions. He can work those electrons in there. He can work that form of matter. He can work this composition or this image of matter. He can work it after the desire of his own will. All he's got to do is just make some kind of move that will cause something that is relative to you to move before you, and you will become enticed, and you will become drawn away, and then Satan, working through that, can get into your heart, and if you're not careful, get into your soul, and cause that soul to surrender to those passions and to those desires, and the very minute that you do that, he said, you have defiled the temple of God. Now he said, as long as the devil harasses your mind, as long as the devil harasses your body, as long as you feel sickness, conflicts, or whatever that might be in this form of matter, he said, it doesn't make any difference. He said, you are free from that. For I've taken the inner spirit and I've separated it from the form of matter. I've separated it from the old image. I have buried the image in water in the name of the Lord. I have separated the spirit. I've taken the spirit off into glory. Said, this is why that I use the terms that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Said, you being the temple of God, I have separated your inner part from your outer part. Christ from the Lord, for he made in himself twain, he made in himself two, he made in himself twain, Peter said, both Lord and Christ. And I have separated the Lord from the Christ. And the Lord part is the body. And the Christ part is the life. And said, when I did that at Calvary, when I took the temple, I rent it in twain, they knowing not that he spake of his body, but he said, I'll raise it up 3 days after it's rent in twain. He said, I have taken your body, separated your spirit from your body, I have rent it in twain. I have opened up the temple. It is now rent in twain. It is open up. I have taken your spirit from your body, and the body without the spirit is dead, and I have buried the body in a watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ, and I've taken the spirit into heaven. I've hid it with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things. Therefore, he said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Your spirit is now with God. Your spirit is now in heaven. Don't know any man after the flesh. Don't know any man after the body. Don't pay any attention to mankind and man's beautiful words and man's natural abilities and man's powers and man's prestige in this world. Don't pay any attention to that. But remember that you are a quickening spirit, and your body is dead and buried in a watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ. And that at death, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. At that death, your body was buried, your spirit went back to God. It's hid with Christ in the Spirit of God. Therefore, reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. My body to be dead because his body died. My spirit to be alive because his spirit came forth from the grave. Reckon your bodies to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus because of the law and the curse of sin that the law gave strength to. But reckon your inner man to be alive, having passed from death unto life, resurrected in the newness of life, free from the law, free from the curse, free from the body, and today we are bone of his bone and we are flesh of his flesh. And God never again sees me as that man that is subject to that power which is the prince of the air. I am not subject anymore to Satan. I am not subject anymore to the powers of evil. Now, when I say that, I know that this body is still subject. I know that this body is still relative to the dust. I know that this body is still related to the particles of the ground. And I know that Satan is still the prince of this world. I know that, but I am one of those that dwell in heaven. I left that old particle. I left that old conflict. I left that old body. I buried it in the grave. I'm not worried about it anymore. And though the skin worms devour my body, Job said, in my flesh shall I see God. See, this body goes down into the grave. It goes down into the grave, beloved friend. It's buried. It is no more. It is gone. It is hid. God does not see that man that was buried, but he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not being of that old body, but I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. Hallelujah. For the Bible said, if any man deny that Christ is come in the flesh, that man is under Christ. Therefore, today we are Christ in the body. Hallelujah. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I said this so many times. When they awoke, they saw his glory. And though the Bible said his glory he will not give to another, yet we are not another, but we are the body of the Lord, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And today it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, or the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. So then, I am free from sin. I am free from the curse of evil. I am free from sickness. I am free from disease. I am free from all of the conflicts of life and the things of this world. I don't have to worry about those things. How am I free from Satan? Because he is the prince over the atomic matter. He is the prince over the atomic matter. What is the atomic matter? It is the regions of earth. It is the regions of earth. It is this dimension of earth. Then where am I in that he hath no power over me? I am not in the dimension of the earth. Hallelujah. You can look all you want to in the earth, but you won't find me. You know, I thought about Brother Branham and what was said when that little boy was killed and the parents wanted him to be brought back. I didn't understand just what it was saying. But said Brother Branham said he looked all around through the earth, couldn't find him. You know what? That's true. When you really see his glory and you really understand, oh, brother, we're not here in this world, but we're in another world tonight. Hallelujah. Like the song said, I pass from death unto life. And I'm in another world since the Lord saved me. Glory to God. He said for me and for you to rejoice. Don't you feel that rejoicing? When you let that faith out to God, when you believe that word, when you accept it, and you move off into the Spirit, move off into the waves of glory, move off into that other world. Forget about that load. Forget about that cross. Jesus carried that cross. Forget about that and move up into the heavenlies with God. Relax and refresh yourself in the faith of the Son of God. The life I now live, I don't live it by the faith of Brother Pike. I don't live it by the faith of you. I live it by the faith of the Son of God. It's what Christ did for me. It's the faith that He put forth. It is the faith that God accepted of Him. It was His unwavering faith, His unwavering faith. It was His unwavering efforts. It was God's own manifestation in human flesh. It was what Christ did, what Christ believed, that made me what I am tonight. I am what I am by the grace of God. It was God's grace that made me what I am tonight. Hallelujah. So then the life I now live, I don't live it because I believe. I don't live it because you believe. I live it because He believed. He believed and God accepted His faith. Therefore this life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought tonight. When they awoke, they saw His glory. When we pass from dimension to dimension, from faith to faith, when we pass from one era to another, when we go up into the heavenlies with God and we transcend the gravitational powers of this world, I am no more in the regions of the world. I am no more subject to Satan. I know this body, the devils, the demons try to conflict. I know that the devils and the demons, like the skin worms, are clawing. They're harassing the mind and pressing the nerves. The darkness in Egypt was so great they could feel it. The world, the gross darkness has covered the world. You can feel it on your nerve system. I know that. But brothers and sisters, I am not here in the body. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. I'm not in the body. You say, but Brother Pike, you must be in the body. But I'm not in the body, beloved friend. The Bible said he that is in the body cannot please God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You're not in the body, but in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Hallelujah. If so be that you're in the Spirit of God, then you're not in the flesh. For if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. If I'm not in the body, then therefore, where am I? I am in heaven. Where is the body? The body is in the earth. How do you know? I buried it out there. Hallelujah. One day they took and they had a funeral. They buried it out there in the water. They buried it in the earth. They buried it in the grave. See, I'm dead by the body of Jesus. I'm gone. I'm buried. It's no more I. Hallelujah. I am bone of His bone. I'm flesh of His flesh. No more I. No more my faith, but Christ is faith. Hallelujah. And He saved me by the glory of God. Therefore, Satan, who is the prince of the powers of the air, that one that rules in the atomic particles, in the atomic matter, in the flow of electrons, that prince, that power that's ruling, that can touch that nerve system, that can harass that mind, that can oppress you and make you weighty, that thing that can entice you and move on your human senses. The Bible speaks of being sensual and being devilish. Being sensual or being devilish. You know, the devil works on your passions, works on your human senses, and he allures you. The Bible tells us that sin is in the world because of lust. Isn't it right? What is lust? The original rendering of the word lust is desire. So then, how did sin get in the world? Because of desire. How do you know that? Because the Bible said it's in the world because of lust. Where did it get in the world? Through Eve. It came through Eve when she lusted. But what does the Bible say? It says that she saw this tree and the fruit was something to be desired. It was through her desire.
If a man looketh on a woman to desire her, to lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. How does that happen? By the powers of Satan, who is the prince of the air, who tries to work through two human beings to cause them to be relative one to another through the human particles that make up the blood genetics, that make up the brain cells, that make up the bone cells. Satan, working through those things, causes a relativityness between two human beings, one a male and one a female. And when he causes this reaction through the human senses, then the Bible calls it lust. Now, how can a man escape that? If he is subject to that in this world, if a woman is subject to that in this world, how then can they escape that thing? By not giving their will to it, by not giving their desire to it, by not yielding to it, by not listening to it, by having nothing to do with it at all. When those things harass the mind, when those powers pass over you, you are not subject to that in your spirit. For there is a wall between your spirit and between the body. God said that I separated the waters from the waters, and I placed a great firmament to separate the waters that's above from the waters that are below. So then there's waters above the firmament. And what is the firmament? The cross between heaven and earth. The blood blanket between heaven and earth. You know, there's just a little thing up there that is keeping the sun from burning us to death. Isn't that right? That little thing up there, I don't remember the name of it, the ozone or something like that. What is it? What do they call it? The ionosphere. But there's something else in there that goes along in there that separates the sun to keep it from burning us up. That little thing, it's not very thick, not very big, and already it's breaking down because of the abusement that's coming from the blast, it's coming from the fallout, and all these other things. Right now, it's breaking down to where the sun will soon come to the earth and do just exactly what the Bible says it will happen in tribulation. Not very long before this happens because it's breaking down right now. You understand what I'm saying? Therefore, the firmament separates. The firmament separates. But see, when this firmament is dissolved, it will mean that it is the end of the world. And it will mean Revelation 19, where we will come back and unite with the body. The spiritual Jew coming back to the natural Jew, which means the spirit that separated from the body, the dead, that spirit will return and that body will come out of the grave. That is the first resurrection. That is the saints of God. That is the thing that Enoch spoke of. But we don't have to wait till then. We don't have to wait till then. We are those that dwell in heaven. We do not have to give ourselves to the passions and the conflict of the evil forces, the demon forces that are over the powers of the air. We don't have to submit ourselves. I don't have to submit my mind. I have an inner strength. Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the body, or he that is within the world, or he that is within the flesh. Greater is the inner me than the outer me. So then reckon yourselves to be dead on the outside. That is, don't believe that any of those conflicts will be charged against you. Don't believe that any of that harassment will be charged against you. Don't believe that any of that gnawing sensation of evil among human passions can be charged to you. That you are dead to it. God took it away with the body of Jesus. And we are without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And we are perfected forever, sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus, filled with His Spirit, perfected forever, and that we can come boldly into the presence of God, the veil having been rent in twain, the middle wall of iniquity that separated between me and God, that old bodily person, that veil taken away, separating the Lord from the Christ, separating the inner you from the outer you, putting the inner you into heaven, and putting Satan in the body behind you. Calvary is behind us, isn't it right? Leaving this region, going to the regions of God, there where we can boldly enter into that heavenly place of the holies of holies, make our petition known to God, tell God what we want, not fear, not waver, not doubt, decree a thing in our heart, and watch God bring it to pass. Oh, my brother, when they awoke, they saw His glory. If you could awake tonight and see what the faith of the Son of God is, when the Bible said, contend for the faith. You know what that faith is? That's an unwavering faith, an unwavering faith. That means you get the answers, you get the understanding. And then you know who you are and where you are. And you don't have to waver, you don't have to doubt, you don't have to wonder. But a faith of the Son of God will rise up into your heart. And you'll be steadfast. When you decree a thing, you won't budge from it. When you believe a thing, you won't budge from it. You don't have to budge from it. You don't have to doubt when the harassment comes. When the devil begins to pound at your mind. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to waver because of condemnation. Because you're free from the old man. Glory to God, you sat there. Got your sails set in the wind. And you're at the stern and you hold it, hallelujah. The governor turns it whithersoever he will. Because he governs the boat. Whithersoever he will. Whithersoever he listeth. Hallelujah. So then, it is a true fact. When they awoke, they saw his glory. They saw something was happening. What is this that is taking place? The very thing that will make the rapture. This is the translation. This is the secrets. This is the mysteries revealed. This is the understanding of the Son of God. This is the only faith that can penetrate those time barriers. This is the only faith that has to come from understanding of the hearing of the Word. It must come. And it's the only thing that can translate you past that great power of evil called the tribulation period. And if you can get into the right frame of mind, the mind of Christ, if you can get in there and if you can understand, see, a mind is an understanding. If you can get into that world of understanding of Christ, then you can believe because you know. You know your rights. You know what Satan can do to you and what Satan cannot do to you. Therefore, I say again, the Lord answered me back. And he said, Son, he being the prince of the powers that are in the air, he takes the children of disobedience into captivity at his will. But you are free from all of that. You are free from all of that. Though the skin worms devour the body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. You are free from all of that. And I'm thankful tonight to be one of them that dwell in heaven. I'm glad to be free from all of those evils. I'm glad that my spirit tonight, my heart tonight, my desire tonight, my ambition tonight is not toward the world, not toward human passions, but rather toward the Holy Spirit and His pleasure and His glory. Do you love Him tonight? Let's stand together. You don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. The land of milk and honey, honey and cake all the day long. You don't know what you're missing. When they awoke, they saw His glory. Oh, just remember, tonight we're free from that. The devil got into Eve and Adam. Got into their particle, their atomic particles. Got into the body. Got into the natural side of life. Because he pulled them out of the Shekinah of God. And he got into it. And brother, he's been in control through the beast part ever since. But I'm glad I'm free from the beast part. I'm not of the beast. I'm free from the beast part. I am a son of God. I've been transported into another world. By the renewing of my mind, Paul tells me I've been transformed. The Bible tells me I have been translated in my spirit by the works of Jesus Christ and through the divine faith of God into the kingdom of God. And today, though we wait for the change of the body, really, as I've said so many times, not dead at all, but rather waiting to wit, to know, to understand, to comprehend, at the coming forth of the understanding, to wit the redemption of the body, which is the adoption of sonship. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to know that we belong to Him, sons of God? We sang that song, now we are the sons of God, the sons of God, the sons of God. Oh, now we are the sons of God. And we say in that song, God is bringing forth a man child. He's bringing forth a man child. Hallelujah. You love Jesus. If you can awake, you can see His glory. If you cannot awake, then that means you're still in the realms and the regions of the dead and in the regions of the damned. For to be in the flesh, to be in the carnal mind, just to come no further than the first birth, means you're still subject to the body and its passions, and that Satan, the prince of the powers of the air that controls the particles, is your master. But oh, beloved friend, when you die to all of that, and you transcend that old world and you begin to dwell in heaven, then Satan is no more your master. Jesus says to you, he hath passed from death unto life, and now thou art the resurrection. I am the resurrection, Jesus said. I am the life. And he that believeth on me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. I'll resurrect him. But he said, he that liveth, you that's still breathing, he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Shall never die. Oh, what a thought. What a wonderful thought. Glory to God. If you're dead, he'll bring you back. But if you're alive, you don't have to go to get brought back. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to go to get brought back. You know, I say again in closing, just these few little thoughts tonight, but in a message that we preached a few nights ago, what good is death to God? I have no pleasure in death. No pleasure in death, for death is mine enemy. It robs me of all that I have. In the grave I cannot praise thee, O Lord. But in the land of the living I can sing praises to thy name. What good is death? What good does death do anyone? What good is death to the plan of God? None whatsoever. None whatsoever. You can't show me one thing in death that will help to glorify you or that's needed to change you or anything else. Death has no power, potentials, or whatever to change you, to glorify you, to aid you, or to help you in anything. It is only one big hindrance. And Jesus died to destroy it. Isn't God good? God is so good. I love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? Let's sing a little chorus that goes like this. They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon my Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, for they shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, just to wait. Sing it with me. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, just to wait. One more time. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. Oh, they shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk and never faint. Just teach me, Lord. Just teach me, Lord, oh, to wait. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If thou canst believe, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we get to where we believe, if we can just believe, understand, and believe, oh, how happy you'll be. Oh, how happy I will be, the song says. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? Let's sing that chorus again. I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter
His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Sing it. He hath made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad.
Tell me something tonight. How could you know and not be glad? How could you know and believe and not be glad? To know that you are free from death. All of medical science, all of the world seeks to find the answer, but we've got it. We've got it. While they're looking, we've got it. Hallelujah, having passed from death into life. Can you really believe that you are free from death? Really believe that you are free from death and not be glad? Could a man feel no joy, feel that inspiration and understand thoroughly that he is free from death and not be glad? Oh, my brother, all of our life we were subject to bondage of fear because of death. But I am not subject to fear anymore. Fear not, Jesus said. Why should I be overcome by fear? God has not given me the spirit of fear, neither the fear of death or any other thing. Therefore, I do not fear death. I do not fear poverty. I do not fear sickness. Why? Because it is deliverance. He has delivered me. Hallelujah. I'm free from all of that. Why then should I fear death? Why should I worry about something that cannot be? Why should I do it? Am not I free? Am I not that one that dwells in heaven? Oh, brother, could you dwell in heaven? Sister in the Lord, could you be in heaven and not be happy, not rejoice? Oh, but you say, Brother Pike, it all sounds good. I believe every word of it. One of these days I'm going there. Oh, you don't believe none of it. You don't believe any of it, but maybe someday you will believe it. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again, you that dwell in heaven. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Sing it. Oh, made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Let me tell you something, children of God. Just so long as we are of the opinion that someday, if we be good, if we don't falter, if we don't fail, if we don't sin, that someday we're going to go to heaven. Oh, you could never be happy like that. Oh, what a miserable life. What a miserable life. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me if I just can hold on. Oh, Lord, I'm 20 and now I'm 30 and now I'm 40. Help me, Lord, if I can just hold on. One of these days, He'll look at me and He'll say, here's one righteousness and here's one wrong. And here's one good and here's one wrong. Here's one. Boy, you barely made it. If it had been one more, you'd have missed it. Oh, how miserable can people get. But the Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Somebody says, am I going to go, Brother Pike? Am I going to make it, Brother Pike? Oh, how can you say that? How can you say that and believe what I'm preaching? Believe the word of God. Oh, my brother, ye that dwell in heaven, rejoice. Ye that made it, rejoice. Ye that went up in the rapture, rejoice. Ye that crossed over on the other side. Jesus said, the Son of Man who is in heaven, as He talked with Nicodemus. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, Don't you know that being flesh and bones, you could never do that? He said, fill of me. Glory to God, I'm flesh and bones. I'm flesh and bones. And as he stood there with Nicodemus before his death, it was still the same flesh and bones. I'm in heaven, Nicodemus. Still the same flesh and bones. Dying didn't do nothing for Jesus. Come on now. Did creating the world do anything for God? Did it make him any greater? Wasn't he just as great before he ever created the world? Because God made you and made the stars, did that make him any greater? Oh, my brother, he was everything then that he was after he got through creating. He didn't make him a bit greater. He just manifested a little of his greatness. Isn't that right? Was Jesus any more on the other side of Calvary than he was on this side of Calvary? He said, well, I think so. Well, why did he go up into the mount, walk up into heaven with Moses and Elijah? Come on now. Didn't he do the very same thing? Somebody said, but that's Jesus. But what about Elijah? What about Enoch? Come on now. He said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Was they any greater on the other side of Calvary than they was before Calvary? Come on now. He said, what do you mean? I mean, they went up into heaven before Calvary. They was over there in heaven after Calvary. Is that right? How many believe they're in heaven? No different. Because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Our names was written in the Lamb's book of life before the world ever begun. For we are God's justified, predestinated, sanctified, perfected forever saints. Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. What then is Calvary? The manifestation of what he had already done before the world ever started. Just letting you know that everything was all right so you could see it with your own eyes. Hear it with your own ears. Then where are we on this side of Calvary? So then we're not down yonder, we're up here.
Yes, Lord.
Come on now. You say, well, I just can't believe that. Well, I hope something will happen to you, but you that dwell in heaven, let's sing that again.
Amen.
For you do believe that. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice for Jesus made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, the rapture's taking place and the saints of God are just moving off and leaving them standing there, hallelujah. And they don't know what's happening. All of you that dwell in heaven, can you say hallelujah? Glory to God. Oh, Ramandorabasaya. Glad, he hath made me glad. How did he make me glad? Hallelujah, he made me glad because he took my burdens away. He took that old heaviness away. He freed me from that old carcass of death. Hallelujah. And he put me in heaven, and I am so glad. I am so glad. But you say, Brother Pike, don't you know that flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God? I know that. Spirit inherits spirit, and my spirit inherited the kingdom, and the kingdom's in me. And now the glory of it is that the glory of God has broke forth from that kingdom on the inside, like it did through Moses' genetics, like it did through Jesus' genetics, like it did when it made Stephen's face to shine, and it's just glowing for wisdom, making the face to shine. It's just coming out more and more and more and just swallowing me up. Hallelujah. From glory to glory, from faith to faith, the translation into the marvelous kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's what makes me glad. I am bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And that flesh and bone went right into the kingdom of God. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. You can't believe that. But the Bible said, sown corruptible, raised incorruptible. Sown natural, raised spiritual. Come on now.
put down terrestrial, brought up celestial. Is that right? Put down flesh and blood, brought up a spiritual body. A spiritual body. Is that right? They said he's a spirit. Why do they say that? The Bible said the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, that was after he went back to heaven. You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that, do you? If you believe that, you go get in a casket and let them throw the dirt over you and see if you can push your way out. You say, well, what do you mean? I mean it's sown corruptible, it's raised up incorruptible. I mean that was an incorruptible body. It was sown a natural body. When he got out of that grave, it was a spiritual body. Because the scriptures can't be broken. What was that spiritual body? The same as you and I. He that's born of the Spirit is spirit. Somebody say, I love Jesus. How can that be, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. God was a spirit. That spirit was made flesh and bones. And I'm flesh of that flesh and bone of that spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Death didn't do nothing for us. Death didn't do nothing for us. Jesus did something for us. What did he do? Conquer death. Hallelujah. Praise God and done away with it. Death don't do nothing for the people of God. That's why Jesus came to die, to get it out of the way. It's the great hindrance. I destroyed him that had power over death. Why did Jesus then die? So you wouldn't have to die. That was the way he got rid of it. You love the Lord? Let's sing it again. Oh, he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice.